But the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
All right. So Justin Fields was in the spotlight on Saturday for the wrong reason, being on that fake punt and everything. But after the game, he was proposed the question in the locker room, will you be back at Georgia next season? And his answer to quote was, right now, the season's not over with. We still have more games. I'm focused on this team. That's it. Is Fields going to still be here next year?
Yeah, I think he will be. My position on Fields all along is that he could be playing anywhere he wanted to be right now. He knew what he was getting into when he came and committed here and signed, that Fromm was here. Fromm was coming off a terrific freshman season that saw us get to the never trail Alabama until the game's final play in the national championship. But he could have gone to Penn State, where he would no doubt be starting next year with Trace McSorley leaving.
Right.
He could be at Florida, where he might have been starting this year.
Good chance.
With Felipe Franks, he could have gone to Auburn, where he might have ended up playing some this year, because it's not like Stidham was great.
No.
And he might be in line to be their starter next season. So, but he knew all these and still committed and all that and committed and signed here. So, yeah, I think he'll be here next year. And listen, if he decides that for him there's someplace else that he needs to be so that his career can flourish, then, I mean, I have no hard feelings about that.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of like what Jalen Hurts did, the thing that I'm going to hate now is that anytime a kid transfers, the fact that Jalen Hurts stayed and got to come in and ended up being the hero, and he stuck with Alabama and didn't just transfer. That's great. If that's what Hurts felt was best for him,
right?
He did it and it worked out for him. But if there's someone out there that still thinks they'd be better off going someplace else and transferring, I will not hold that against them.
Okay. I mean, do you think he maybe came in with the intentions that he could win the job? I mean, Fromm did have a great year last year, but, you know, I'd say the bulk of the offense was around the running game, and maybe he thought, you know, maybe I'm a little better quarterback than Fromm, but Fromm has obviously played stellar this year. Think maybe that had something to do with it?
I mean, maybe he did, sure. And, you know, I think Kirby was up front all along about, hey, this is all positions are up for grabs,
right?
And it's a competition, and those two guys will be at it next season. But I think from what we've seen from Fromm's performance this year, and certainly what he was doing Saturday night, just completely on point. I mean, he looked as sharp, and just given the
tell
me if there's when you've seen a better performance by a Georgia quarterback.
300 yards in a meaningful game like that, that's something we don't see too much of.
And, I mean, hardly a bad throw, because even some of his incompletions, when he had ripped off those 10 straight completions, I mean, we had drops.
Yeah. No, he was on the money, especially in that first half.
So, you know, I'm sure they'll come back next spring, and maybe it'll be open, and we'll see what we got. I mean, I know as far as when Fields did play this year, I mean, it was limited in what we saw him do. We didn't see him throw a ton,
right?
And you know, a lot of it was just a lot of running. But
I don't think we ever saw those like unique packages that I think we were all looking for.
Yeah,
you know.
But Georgia was playing its best quarterback.
It was.
I mean, our coaches
weren't
leaving like the superior talent on the bench this season.
And it's easy to see that Fromm can read a defense exceptionally well. And I don't think Fields is near his level on that.
No, I'm very much looking forward to the Dolphins drafting him following, I guess that would be in the spring of 2020.
So you think he's going to come out after his junior year?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a top pick. I mean, I'd love for him to stay, but if you're going to be like a top 10 pick in the NFL draft and you're a quarterback, I would not come back to college.
My only thing about him is I think that pro scouts are really going to – I don't think they're going to like his height, though.
Yeah, well, pro scouts are
– Okay, he's listed as 6'2".
Yeah.
If you've ever seen him in person, that's very generous.
Is it?
I think he's probably around 6 foot.
Well, Breeze isn't that big of a guy.
Right, he isn't, and that's the argument people always make, but not enough teams take a chance on guys like that.
Oh, I know. That's the scouts will spend all that evaluation period trying to talk themselves out. I mean, one of the favorite people of the year is the anonymous scout.
Right.
It's like the NFL has always gotten me where it's a very weird industry where they spend, you know, we'll call it from like February to up to the draft in April, how those guys really spend, I mean, they spend the bulks of the months like just I mean, tearing down these guys that are basically their future workforce.
Right.
And so it's, I mean, it's a strange industry that they would do that. They'll spend like 3 months just clubbing these guys, and then, but I'm going to draft them, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to work for us.
I think I was in here with you when you were talking about this, that the quarterback from Duke, like, he just suddenly showed up on the radar as one of these, you know, touted quarterbacks for the upcoming draft, and you haven't really heard much about him, and I Google him, and he's 6'5". I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking at.
Yeah, he's got the measurables or whatever, and that was, like, the deal with Josh Allen. He just, like, looked the part. And I mean, Fromm's size and height might work against him, but...
And I don't doubt that Fromm would get drafted, but I don't know. I see him... Not that he doesn't deserve to go high, but I see teams as, you know, maybe a late round pickup as a backup.
I get what you're saying with the scouts, but it just boils down to, I mean, just look what he just did to Alabama's defense Saturday night.
Very true.
He was shredding them.
Okay.
So now I'm very much looking forward to the Dolphins drafting him.
We'll see what happens. Jumping along in the 5 at 5, we know expansion is going to come to the playoffs one day, whether we like it or not. Would you like to see a 6 or an 8 team playoff next?
You're right, it is going to expand. My preference would be, think about it, if we had the old BCS system, we'd have Alabama playing Clemson, and the only people that would be crying about that would be Notre Dame fans, but that would be it.
And we'd still be playing in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, but it would be like, there'd be less argument here. I hope it stays at 4, because we can move to 8, and then we'll be arguing about teams 9, 10, and 11. The whole time we were moving to this. When you're not eliminating arguments with a playoff.
Arguments.
You're just changing the argument.
Right.
And we used to argue over 1 and 2. We used to argue over 2 and 3. And now here we are, where it's like, well, we're arguing between Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, maybe even to a lesser extent, there's UCF lurking out there as an unbeaten.
Which, as an 8-team playoff, would give UCF the chance that everybody wants to give them.
Yeah. But, you know, would you – I mean, I guess then it's a little –
So
it's a little, you know, it's, you put in all 5 of the conference champions,
right?
And then you have
three wild cards,
which, so Georgia would be
Georgia,
one.
Georgia, UCF, and then
Michigan?
I guess so. Yeah. I've thought about it a lot. I would actually wouldn't mind a 6-team playoff if that's what we're moving to next.
So what are we talking? 5? The 5 conference titles and then 1?
No. I don't think conference champions should get an AQ.
Okay.
Because look at a team like Washington, 10-3, won the Pac-12. I don't think they deserve to be in by just winning a pretty lowly conference like the Pac-12. So if we went to 6 this year, it would be Alabama and Clemson getting byes. They're waiting in the semifinals. And then the next 2 teams will get home field advantage because they're 3 and 4. And past that, if you're the last 2 teams in, number 5 and number 6, which would be Georgia and Ohio State, you're viewed as the last 2 out of the top 6. Your path to the championship should be the most difficult. So we would go on the road to Notre Dame. If we win that game, then we have to go on the road again to the semifinal destination of whichever higher seed, which that would be, assuming Oklahoma beats Ohio State, then we would be playing. Yeah, we'd be playing
Alabama again
in the Orange Bowl. Well, they'd probably be waiting in the Cotton Bowl then. But I don't know. I kind of like that dynamic of it, that 5 and 6, it's going to be really hard for you to get all the way there because, you know, you're basically the wild cards at that point. Yeah,
right.
Ohio State's a conference champion, but they're viewed as one of the least powerful ones.
But then I would just say, then why even bother with them then? Just have... We got our nice little tidy 4. And
like I said, expansion is going to come whether we like it or not.
Oh, I know. That's the history.
So I love 4 as well. I think it's totally fine.
I like the old just 2 BCS. Because, I mean, to me, then, like, the games did, like, in like, the idea of an 8 where Michigan would be in, they got blown out by their rival. And, like, to me, it's like, that's what made college football so great, is they would just have to sit and live with that for a year.
Yeah.
But here, like, in an 8-team playoff, like, oh, okay, well, good. We're in the playoffs, so it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, even last year with Alabama, that should have been, 2017 should have been one of the worst seasons in the history of Alabama football. They were undefeated, ranked number 1. They lost the Iron Bowl, didn't even make it to the SEC championship game. And as it turned out, it went from what should have been one of the worst seasons in their history to one of the best because they won another national title.
Yeah. Like I said, whether we like it or not, it's going to come one day.
Yeah, 100%. I know that. That's the history of
that television money talks.
Every postseason has been expansion.
With quarterfinal games, then you get an extra Saturday of big, huge matchups, you know, on the ESPN networks, which is going to draw in more money.
Yeah.
So it's coming whether we like it or not. Moving on here at the 5 at 5. We were talking about this before the show, actually. Did Tua lose the Heisman on Saturday?
I think he did. And I would, you know, I've kind of like gone back and forth where it's like, if I had a vote, would I still vote for him? Because the, you know, thinking about the season from beginning to end.
Right.
But here's the question I keep asking myself, and the answer I keep giving myself is yes. And the question is, would Georgia have won the SEC championship game Saturday night if Tua had not gone out of it?
Without a doubt, I
keep saying yes. So I, you know, the thought of then Tua winning the Heisman Trophy, when I think his team would have lost the game had he stayed in it. I know, in part of that was because he was hurt. I mean, the guy was limping pretty much the whole day.
Didn't you make the argument his first time facing a legitimate defense and they shut him down?
Well, really, I'd say it was his second one, because Mississippi State has. I would say Mississippi State's defense is better than ours this season, and they held them to 24 points and only
3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
For comparison, Kyler Murray has 4,053 yards through the air, 40 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
So
he's going to win it.
I don't see why he wouldn't win it at this point.
No, I think he's going to. It sounds like he's. There's a lot of momentum suddenly that has moved toward him. And I know for me personally, it just comes down to, like, if I had a Heisman Trophy vote, would I vote for a guy who I think his team would have lost if he had stayed in the game?
Yeah, no.
And I would say no, I wouldn't. I'd vote for Kyler Murray.
So, but hand Kyler Murray to the Heisman. He goes to the playoffs, whatever happens there. And then he leaves Norman and gets that $1 million contract in the MLB. What a story.
Well, you know, here's what it's going to do, though. It's just going to put a big chip on Tua's shoulders in that semifinal now. So, you know, Murray's going to have the Heisman Trophy, but Bama's going to be the team now that has this, you know, they're going to be this extra motivation because their guy had it taken from them.
Well, sorry to Oklahoma in advance on that one.
Yeah, well, especially with that defense they've got.
What defense?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, it will be.
I mean, Oklahoma will score too, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, they scored on us last year, and we had a phenomenal defense.
I honestly think the game will be a lot similar to last year's Rose Bowl. I think Oklahoma will come streaking and score a lot in the first half, and then Bama goes in the locker room, gets those magical adjustments, and comes out and locks it down.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're not going to stop Bama.
No, not at all. Staying on the topic of the Heisman, this question was posed on Twitter the other day, and there was a variety of answers that I saw. Who's the best player to never win the Heisman Trophy based on what they did in college?
Well, I think it ties in with the worst ever winner of the Heisman based on who he beat.
Yeah.
And it's probably Gino Toretto was the winner, and he beat Garrison Hurst and Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Peyton Manning would be another one.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I did see that answer a few times. Some people said Deshaun Watson.
Watson's a good
fair
one.
Fair argument.
I mean, but Peyton lost to Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
You know, Watson's a good one too, but I don't, you know, it's who was winning it then? Like, did
that was Henry.
Yeah, Henry won it the one time, and then who won it?
Lamar Jackson the next year.
Yeah, see, I think there were at least good winners with Watson.
Yeah.
But, like, with Faulk and Garrison Hurst, I mean, Gino Toretto won.
Yeah.
And then, with Peyton, it was Charles Woodson. Heck, I mean, I think about even, like Darren McFadden when he was at, I guess one of those years he lost to Tebow, but...
That was 2007.
Yeah, but then there was one year he finished second to... did he finish second to Reggie Bush, maybe, or did he finish second? No, that was Vince Young.
I feel like he only went in 07, because he had that magical 07 year.
He finished second twice.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one year, maybe it was to Jason White.
I think it was White, like, I think White was 05 or 04. Bradford was 08.
I think it was Bradford he finished.
Which, in terms of,
he
like...
He was runner-up to Tebow and Bradford, I think.
Now, if we're looking at, like, only college stuff, then yeah... Bradford's a pretty solid Heisman winner, but we're talking about a career afterwards.
Yeah, well, man. I mean, it's odd. Like, the same thing, you could say the same thing about McFadden.
And Tebow.
Yeah. I mean, everyone kind of snuffed that out with Tebow.
True.
But McFadden, like, I didn't see him going to the NFL and being, I mean, kind of a bust, I guess.
Right. All right, so going to close it out with a trivia question that I always like to do in the final question of the 5 at 5. Yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks defeated the 49ers by a score of 43-16. This score had never been recorded before in the history of the NFL. Would you like to take a wild guess at how many unique scores have been recorded in the NFL with yesterday's edition?
All right, so how many total in
how
the
many
history?
Total final scores have happened in the history of the NFL?
I mean, I have no clue where to even begin with that. Is it in the thousands?
It is in the thousands.
Is it in the 10,000s?
No.
So we're not that high.
Just a smidge over 1,000, actually.
Oh, okay. So I'd probably say 1,053.
You are so close. 1,046.
Wow. All right.
And obviously, yesterday's scores only happened once. The most frequent score in the history of the NFL is 20-17. It's happened 264 times, including yesterday, most recently with the Packers losing to the Cardinals that eventually got Mike McCarthy fired.
Finally. What was the score of the Falcons game?
26-16, but it wasn't that close.
No. The Falcons didn't even get 200 yards of offense.
They had a smidge over 130.
Of total offense.
Total offense.
Yeah.
It was horrific.
Like Baltimore does have a good defense, but the Falcons have...
Yeah,
they should have a really good offense. And now, you start to think of these 2 years with Sarkisian, that's 2 years of the primes of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones that have been completely squandered.
He's the scapegoat when the season's over.
He has to be.
He's gone.
I mean, you can't leave him in charge another prime year of Ryan and Julio.
Yeah.
Because Julio's prime is, Matt Ryan still has probably another, 5, 6, 7 good, strong years. I mean, these quarterbacks are playing well into their 30s.
Right.
But, I mean, Julio, you're looking at maybe another, 2, 3 years tops.
Yeah.
With a guy like that, early 30s already.
I don't disagree.
All right. There's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. I haven't even really looked at the other bowl matchup. So, Tyler, we come back. You could tell me what some of the other good bowl games
There's
are going to be, okay?
There's some interesting ones.
I haven't even really gotten around to...
I love bowl season.
I do, too.
It's my favorite time of year.
I love it, too. I'd be more into it right now if Georgia had won Saturday. It'll take me a couple of days, and then I'll get all wound up.
I also love the names of some of these bowl games. We'll get into some of those soon.
Yeah.
I have a particular favorite this year.
Okay. Well, mine is easy. There's a bowl named after Cheez-Its.
Okay. I have a better one, though.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
It's the home team presented by Golden Pantry Food Stores, 960 The Ref.